The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
Some content in this audio is not covered under a Creative Commons license. For more information, see the course materials on the MIT OpenCourseWare website.
Bunch of puzzles.
These are the first one's easy, and then everything after that is like, it's such a scam.
Wait, is it that like a series, or is it just one book?
I don't know. I found it.
Okay. It was a good read. It was pretty old.
Everyone wants to look at them. They're like, it gives you a premise, like, you know, one person can lie or whatever, or like there's a patient that does this. And there's going to be 30 puzzles in it that's going to progress to where you're more impossible.
I just wanted to throw out one suggestion. If anybody's having trouble thinking about what to put up for a forum post, and if you haven't been able to keep up with your forum post, one thing that you might want to attempt is just a quick postmortem of your previous project. What you would rather have gone right, what went wrong, and just a couple of little bullet points as a sort of reflection. Just thinking about what you might want to try to change, or what you want to make sure that you keep doing for the next project. That's just a good idea. So if you could do that next week, if you've already done today's this week's forum post, you might want to try that next week. Just a good exercise. All right.
Sure. Okay. First of all, I'm going to say if you can't see the screen, you might want to position yourself so that you can, because most of everything is going to be up here for today. I don't know if, for those of you who have taken or are taking intro video game studies, how much Clara and Todd are going into this, but some of today's talk is definitely going to be more on like the video game studies theoretical side. And we're actually requiring you to implement this stuff. So a lot of what we talk about today is kind of rhetoric and meaning and how that relates to simulation. If you're not conscious of this or you don't put this in your game, that's fine. This is just something that I think is really interesting, and I hope you guys will as well. First of all, I want to talk about what simulation means, and it would help if I did this correctly. So Gonzalo Frasca says a simulation, or to simulate, is to model a source system through a different system which maintains for someone some of the behaviors of the original system. And so to me this definition is really important for a couple of reasons. First of all, he puts source in parentheses. For him and in his writing, he doesn't necessarily think you need one, which is a whole other argument altogether, but I want to point out that all of this will assume that there is a source system. And that the design is conscious, and that's part of the board game assignment, right, is to make a game based on a real-world system. But you notice this definition, I think, has a lot of space in it. Like, it maintains for somebody some of the behaviors. It's intentionally very loose. And this will come into play shortly, because a big part of what we're going to be talking about today is, like, the relationship of subjectivity in simulation, which hopefully, or I hope you guys saw a little bit up in the article that they're reading for today. So to give kind of a more rigorous definition, this is a model taken from an extremely dry textbook called Theory of Modeling and Simulation. And Ziegler et al., I forget all the other authors, but basically they present the simulations like this. So the idea is you have a source system that exists within an experimental frame. This frame kind of refers to, these are the conditions under which we are interested in the source system, right? So if you want to make a game, say, about life at MIT, there's some things you're going to include, some things you're going to exclude, right? You probably don't care about the effect of the moon's gravity on the campus, for example. And then there's a modeling relation, right? So we observe a source system kind of under certain conditions, and then we focus on the elements that are important to us, and from that we construct a model. And you notice here, they distinguish between a simulator and the model, which is not something that I think we do necessarily. Because we tend to think of simulations, right, as this kind of complex technological software entities. But you know, so this separating this kind of indicates that, you know, multiple things can be a simulator. For example, in terms of games, right, you can have a board game, you can have a video game. These can be based on the same model. They could be derived from the same system, but the simulator exactly can be, it can be a couple different things. So this is kind of like a really sort of technical way of looking at it. But what I want to talk about specifically is what I refer to in some of my writing as the simulation gap. And this is another way of looking at the elements in a simulation. So, you know, the major components are the source system, the simulation, and the user, and then I have all of these super intuitive arrows and letters and stuff. So to go through them quickly, so the arrow at A, right, this is kind of the abstraction process, right? This is, we're looking at a source system, we're considering, you know, presumably within some sort of experimental frame that we care about. And then from that, we derive behaviors and rules that we want to implement into the simulation. So then the arrow at B then represents the user. So this might be me, and this is me interacting with the game, right? This is me playing with it, seeing how the simulation works, watching it run. But then, importantly, there's also my, arrow C, I should say, kind of my recognition that it's based on something, right? If you can't tell that a simulation has a source system, you're going to think of it very differently than if you know what that source system is. And so D then is kind of the proverbial simulation gap. And this is kind of the space between all of them. And this is a model of how users, in working with a simulation, can kind of create a subjective interpretation of it, right? They assign values to it. They look at, you know, are there value judgments in the game? They may consider various parts of the game to have certain meaning or express certain ideas. And this arises from understanding the difference between the source system and the simulation. I was unable to like compress the quote down into a slide, but Ian Bogost said that the simulation gap is kind of, or a user's interpretation of a simulation converges, let's see if I can get this right. It's horribly wordy in the book, but he's basically saying your interpretation is based on what the simulation includes as much as what it excludes, right? We look at these design decisions as having meaning. And so we kind of saw this in the Star article. I'm sorry, this picture is kind of low res, but the game is kind of low res. So I don't know if you remember, there's kind of this key point in the article for today when Star is talking about discussing SimCity 2000 with his daughter, right? And if you remember, he and his daughter react differently to the game's exclusion of mixed-use development. Actually, before I go on, I should ask, has anyone not played SimCity, any of the versions? Like, no experience? Okay, so SimCity basically is and he's called it a software toy. It's a simulation of a city, hence the name. And the idea is you kind of start with an empty space and are trying to build it up into a burgeoning metropolis or whatever. One of the defining features of the game is it's very open, there's no real set goals. And this is primarily done through zoning. And zoning is designating land for specific uses. So the main zones in the game and in the actual urban planning are residential, commercial, industrial. So to mark a segment of land as residential means this land is approved for building community or building housing, basically apartments, houses, what have you. Commercial zones are things like commerce, offices, retailers, those kind of things, whereas industry is manufacturing mostly. And so in the game, you can basically say this chunk of land is for this use. But in reality, it's usually not that cut and dry. And so mixed use development is a particular kind of zoning where you're saying this land can be used for multiple things at the same time. And you see this a lot actually in Boston when you, especially down like Newbury Street, Back Bay, where the ground levels of these apartment buildings are restaurants or there's stores, and then there's space to live apartments built right above them. And that's not possible in any SimCity. And so to get back to the article then, the author is saying, that he thinks the simulation is prejudiced against this kind. It's against having this kind of zoning because the game just leads battle. Whereas his daughter says, well, this is just how it works, right? So for the two of them, they both interpret this exclusion differently. The daughter thinks, well, okay, this is just how the game is, it's not important. And again, the author says, well, no, this is actually a political decision. So for any of you who are familiar with the game, can you think of like any other examples of politics in SimCity? It's written about a fair amount, actually.
There's the energy stuff where you can choose between like coal or nuclear and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you do get dividers in later games that not necessarily get mad at you if you do certain things. This environmental person will be like, you're polluting. And
yeah, they have their own agendas, certainly.
Well, it's not only that. I think it's cheaper to build like a hydroelectric plant than it is to build a nuclear plant or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the material cost of building it is cheaper for some certain resources.
Yep, that's certainly part of it. Although it's interesting to note that in the game, I think part of that is because the hydro plants don't generate as much, so you need a lot of them.
Maybe. I haven't played in a long time, but
yeah. So I think they took the hydro plants out after 2000.
Oftentimes it was often to your interest to build industrial zones near the border of your city,
mm-hmm.
so that your city won't be polluted as much, ignoring the externalities going through the other.
Yeah. And that's a result of the pollution model, is like the industrial zones pollute in a circle, so if you build them on the edge of the map, half that circle is non-existent, right? But there's a question, right, is the simulation arguing that you should send your pollution to other cities, or is this just a result of how it works? You know what I mean? It's kind of a question people have. Jason?
The decision on how to model things, like how taxes affect growth rates and how different sections interact.
Sure.
All of those types of things definitely have models from what they come from, which have certain scientific or political slants to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Michelle, did you have
Well, I was just wondering that I think the difference in how the father and the daughter viewed the system was that the father already had a preconception of what the city should be like, but the kids don't necessarily know because they haven't been exposed to all of this. So to them, it's like, oh, okay, this is how it works. But the father knows that there are other things in the real model system as opposed to the simulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's again emphasizing the fact that the user has their own subjectivity, right? As different people are going to assign different values to these things.
Philip, did I hear you? Mass transit in SimCity is universally considered to be entirely capable of replacing as long as they're connected by a train station, people are going to be happy.
Well, interestingly, they'll complain about, in some games, they'll complain about the lack of roads, but they won't do anything about it. They'll keep moving in.
Right. How are they moving in?
Yeah, and actually, in the first one, you could just have trains, right? You could just have rail lines. There weren't even train stations, right? It was just, everything was bumping against the tracks, which, I mean, in reality, I've lived next to the commuter rail lines. It's not pleasant.
No, some cities, the significant portion of the population does make do with only public transport and the occasional taxi.
Yeah.
The city works for that.
Correct. Exactly.
And one of the, just that one final point, it's a really small detail, but a lot of the games will let you declare your city a nuclear-free zone, which means you won't, it just basically means you can't build a nuclear power plant, but that stimulates growth, right? I mean, people want to move there more because there's no nuclear power plants. Sure, so then I want to go through a few more really short examples. Civilization Revolution is one of like a stripped-down civilization. Is anyone familiar with this version? Now, specifically, you're familiar with the DS version? That's the only one I played, it's actually based on it. Oh, and is that a yes? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the iPhone, too.
Oh, yeah, it's probably the same thing on the iPhone. So I've noticed having played this game a lot. And so in the game, you have these different civilizations, and all represented by a famous leader, right? So the Indians are led by Gandhi for however many thousands of years the game goes on. And I've noticed that Gandhi is incredibly aggressive. Right. Almost the moment I meet him, he declares war on me. We will stay at war the whole time. I usually end up nuking him, honestly. And you can try and make peace, and they'll never do it. Or they'll say, oh yeah, we'll be friends, and then 3 turns later, they're declaring war on you. But on the other hand, Alexander the Great, who conquered much of Greece and Macedonia, was very expansionistic, is total pacifist. He'll never fight you. He never wants to declare war. And not only that, but he never expands. Right? They almost always just have their one city, and they never try and grow and spread, which is totally not what the Greeks did. So there's this question here, right? Is this a result, then, of a bias in the simulation? Do the designers just think, are they just bad at history? Or do they just not have some idea?
Well, actually, that might be it, because, for example, like Civilization 4 and I think 5, mm-hmm. they have the same characters where if you're being India, mm-hmm. you can your player can be Gandhi, and
yeah.
he's pacifistic in mm-hmm. that. And I'm pretty sure Alexander the Great is probably also like expansionist. So I'm not sure why they did that in this version.
Maybe they messed up. It's pretty weird.
Gandhi in number 5 is still really aggressive.
Yeah.
Maybe they just started to. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe they just thought it was funny and
like
that.
And so I actually have my own theory on this. Part of the game is your civilization has a certain government, and governments give different benefits. And actually, it's always just a different benefit in this game. Indians start with fundamentalism, which gives you a bonus to attack. Whereas the Greeks start with a democracy, and in a democracy, the people won't declare war. So there's this kind of weird tension in my theory is that Indians always attack you because they always have an attack bonus, right? And the Greeks never attack you because as we know, right, democracies aren't necessarily pacifistic. So this is like my thinking on it, right, is kind of understanding the rules of the system, and then I kind of infer this AI behavior based on that. But again, this is my position, right? It's easy to find people complaining about historical inaccuracies in civilization. There's always this question of, is it part of the system? Is the system just behaving in a certain way because of certain properties? Is there another intent there? And again, we can infer all these different meanings from what the simulation includes and what it excludes. So I'm going to ask, has anyone not played September 12th? No? Okay, can I get a volunteer to play?
Go for it, Jeremy.
No, we don't play.
That's true.
Yeah,
you
don't
play?
Yeah,
sure.
I'll pass it to the program.
Okay. So you can control with the mouse or with the
mouse.
Can everyone read this okay? Should I read it? So it's not a game you can't win or lose. The simulation has no endings. It's already begun. And here we go. So all you can do is So do you see what's happening to the people that you just hit with this?
Time you shoot them is like kill people, they turn into terrorists.
In the intro screen, that this is meant to be a simulation of the United States' response to that plan.
There's a puppy!
Do you think you're making things better? Just
of course
not.
We had a guy last night.
There seem to be 2 strategies.
He spent about 15 minutes trying just to kill the puppy, and he concluded that puppies do not spawn terrorists.
Like we can't spawn the puppy.
Oh, that is one crazy dog.
What
the
heck? Do you notice anything about when you
put it on
fire? Like anything unusual? So part of me sees you click and there's a delay.
Yeah.
Right? You can never specifically target a group. Like even if you say, I want to hit these terrorists, the delay means that odds are they're not going to, because they're going to move away, other people are going to move in so they can.
Nice shot.
But you didn't spawn any other terrorists? No, if you kill a terrorist, you don't spawn more terrorists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
clever terrorist. Ooh, it's a kid.
Oh my gosh.
It's a kid terrorist? Ah, the kid turned to a terrorist.
The kid turned to an adult terrorist.
That's a great strategy. If you turn all of the regular civilians into terrorists, then you can just kill everyone.
I think that's the point of
the think they also come in from the side.
Well, you gotta kill them fast enough.
Okay, so I'm gonna interrupt here, because this is basically the whole thing.
Last night someone figured out that if you camped out in the corner, eventually one would wander in the corner without any cylinders around it, and he concluded that he could probably kill all the terrorists for the entire game. But
that's
boring.
That's boring. Optimizing this one.
I'd rather just kill everyone and become terrorists and then change.
So I want to say that this game has received a lot of criticism, right? Because so this is actually Gonzalo Frasca's game, if you remember the quote from the beginning. You know, like notable designer Greg Kostikian has really criticized this, saying this is really harsh. Like, how can you call this a simulation? This is so insensitive. And you notice that this game leaves out a lot of the aspects of terrorism and of these whole interactions, right? You don't see 9/11 happening here, but you also don't. It really simplifies the act of what makes someone become a terrorist, right? Like, you don't have all of the other pressures in the region, all of the other countries' influences, right? It's very stripped down. And I think Frasca has talked about that part of the point here is that it's ignoring so much because that seems to be the way that the U.S. government has responded, right? It's like, this happened, and now we're just going to start bombing them. And so, you know, this is a really great example, right, of how what has been stripped out and what has been left in really creates a strong statement, and you can interpret it in a lot of different ways. But you know, I personally think that what he's going for is this idea, right, that the rhetoric surrounding the war on terror and the political actions and stuff are ignoring a lot of factors, right, including our own role and the region and what's happened. But anyways, I don't mean to turn this into a soapbox. So, does anyone else any other observations or anything to note about it?
I don't know if it was as a result of this or inspired by this, but there's a really great Onion article entitled something like the new mother of all bombs developed generates 10,000 terrorists with every blast.
It sounds about right. Okay. So another example, has anyone not played Every Day the Same Dream? Yes. Okay. Does anyone want to play?
I'll try.
Okay. Okay. Instructions are
civilization and Gandhi is not part of the system.
I'm sorry?
Gandhi is just not like a player, he's not part of the system.
In civilization?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the AI controls him.
Arrows plus face?
Yeah.
There
should be.
Use it.
I got it.
I guess that I can interact with that.
Cubicle.
what is the biggest cubicle industry? Like what field?
Computer science.
That's like
computer science.
What?
Computer science.
Software. I get it. Anything more to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably won't have enough time to do everything as well.
I want to classify this one.
There's different ways you can block this one.
But keep going forward. Don't go to see if you can just keep going forward.
Oh my god.
Ah.
Oh.
Ooh, one more step.
Creepy.
Well, that turns in Neo. Maybe kind of cool.
No spoilers.
Go left, go left.
Left, left.
You guys don't usually spend the day with a homeless guy in the graveyard?
What?
Why would
you?
It's
cool. Weekends. Don't get dressed. Yeah.
Next time, don't put your clothes on.
Oh. Do I crash the car?
Do I crash?
Dude,
get out of the car.
Just get out of the car. Well, let's power through it. Just get out of the car.
Yeah.
Just get out.
Go left.
Get that guy who abandoned
his car. Cow, sweet.
I can't.
Holding up traffic, yo. Leaf is gone.
I don't see what my boss is going to say. Yeah,
what?
What?
No, you can't go left.
Can't go left?
I think you can. I think there's a car there.
Cars are
inside
the house
astonishes me, bro. You are late. He didn't notice I missed a day of work.
Apparently. Look at the graph.
That's why you're late.
Yeah, the graph.
The graph is going down.
It's all your fault.
Oh, I'm going to get fired because the company's going to go down the drain in 3 days.
Walk past your office. Walk past your desk. Or your cubicle around.
Could be a candy dream, man.
What if you tried sitting at one of these?
I'm that.
You were sitting at some of the experience of the game is a little bit stronger when you're on the table talking. But we do have
to make time. Oh, jump on it.
Should I?
Do it. Do it. Yeah.
I told you guys were forward.
What?
The groundhog's dead.
It is the Matrix. Alright, we're going naked this time.
Wait. Can't take out the boss because he's still wearing underwear.
Wait, the people were okay. Can I watch TV now that I'm not feeling good clothes? I guess not.
Did he skip two?
Yeah, because we...
Better than the cow.
The cow.
Everything's different you do.
So this is the last step then. Do I make it?
So you go naked?
Naked.
Naked.
Hit a car. Okay.
Can't hit it.
I'm jamming it.
Are the cars the same every day or anything?
Yeah.
And the leap was something too, right?
Yes, yes.
Now what?
I see remember you have to go past your office again. But you're going to want to get drunk, so you're going to get fired again.
No, he won't.
No, it won't fire you. Oh, right.
Oh, that wife left me.
Yeah.
She only wanted me because I had a job.
What a shallow woman.
Well, yeah, where you go? You're fired.
Where's the woman?
I'm gonna go postal at work.
Don't worry about it. He'll kill himself.
Am I doing the right thing here?
Yeah.
No, I'm right.
Where's the homeless guy?
It's Saturday!
Good call.
Yeah, he got fired too. Uh-huh. I can't crouch.
Really, I love putting on day 6 on Saturday, so now it's no good. Oh, look, you have no cubicle anymore.
You're tired.
Yeah, everyone's jumping.
Yeah, you're doing it. That is funny. Yeah.
What?
Oh.
He hit himself. Oh, man.
That's you.
I didn't know everyone else was.
Yeah, they all look the same.
I didn't mean piled out. Anyway.
Deep.
There you go. One game where like you walk in box across, you can pick up a wife and like it's like very
passive.
Passage.
Oh, passage. That's passage. A weird game.
Reminds me of that game a lot.
Okay. So, and there's a couple things that I wanna say about this game. First of all, if you remember Frasca's definition of a simulation, right, I was talking about the space in it. And I would consider this a simulation, right? This is based on a source system, but it's not the kind of, you know, number crunching CS thing that we associate with the word, right? And for, you know, for me personally, I worked a pretty horrible dead-end cubicle job for about 18 months before coming here. And this, for me, this game really resonates because it really closely matches the experience, right? Like, you're just doing the same thing every day, and any sort of, like, deviation from the norm, it, like, stands out. But in terms of, like, you know, exclusion and inclusion, one of the interesting things about this game, and part of how it makes its point, is there is nothing else, right? Like, it's all a work day. There is no weekend. There's no, I got home, and there's something different. And also kind of the limited agency in the game. And by that I mean, you know, it's hard. It can be easy to forget about, especially at a place like MIT, but a lot of people end up in these very dead-end jobs. I mean, this is a huge part of any, you know, major economy is there are people who just go to their cubicle day after day after day. I knew people, you know, when I was at that craft job, I knew people who have been there 4 years. I mean,
what job is it?
I was for a mutual fund subsidiary of Bank of America. That's on the financial district. I'm not sure if it would have been better for me to stay, given the whole, you know, we tanked the economy, but we awarded ourselves billions of dollars. So maybe I should have stuck around.
So it was a well-paid job.
I mean, in this climate, it might have become well-paid, but it wasn't at the time. So, Yeah, it was actually, a lot of what I did was trade corrections. This is kind of a tangent, but it drives me bonkers. Financial representatives and advisors make an obscene amount of money, yet most of them don't know the difference between dollars and shares of stock. And most of my job was correcting that for them. It's like, unbelievable, right? I mean, it's no surprise to me that the thing is all fucked up. Anyway, so any other like reactions to this game or thoughts about this game before we...
The color of the TV was fun.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to figure out what he's trying to say about the TV. It's like so enticing you want to watch it. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
But there's also nothing meaningful on the TV, right? It's just, it was just right.
Generated some kind of static noise too, right? And then you turned it off.
I think so. I forgot to close the September 12th the window, so there was some noise from that polluting the thing as well.
The use of color just in general is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So that, in particular, the only thing at your work that is colorful is the plumbing stock sign, mm-hmm. and the exit sign, which tells you where to go to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
they're
colorful.
The leaf is colorful.
I think it's interesting that's kind of worth the heritage of the game Another World, mm-hmm. which was sort of an early, semi-verite look at what it'd be like to be human transferred on another planet. Mm-hmm. Even though it's all that fantastical setting, your character was extremely vulnerable and slow and clumsy. Mm-hmm. And this uses the same control scheme and some of the same vector style animations. Mm-hmm. And by the same token, you're playing an ordinary person, it's not the boss, not this person coming in, and even going on sort of postal style, power to your advisor.
That was disappointing.
And so I just want to say, I haven't seen the talk, but apparently someone has argued that this game is just a critique of the art game movement, right? That it's like making fun of the whole pretentiousness of that. And I don't really see that, but again, subjectivity, right? Like, what is this actually about?
What did the creator say about the talk?
I have not. You'll find that the really creative people like that never want to talk about it.
I thought they had an artist statement on the website.
I'm sorry?
I thought there was an artist statement for this somewhere.
There could be. I honestly haven't dug it up. Okay, so moving on. So any good theory, right? If you have a theory about how things work, the best way to test it is to kind of figure out what's a horrible example, right? So we've been talking about like simulations and subjectivity and saying, okay, how does this model explain kind of the way meaning gets embedded in a game? And Mario, I think, is a really good example to kind of throw at that. So, what are some things that are like abstracted into the simulation? Like, what's here, what's not? And just
sure.
For some
there's things like physics, like you can jump, you can move.
You can jump, you can move in midair.
Yeah.
You can slam your head against extremely hard things and break them.
Yeah.
You can grow.
Technically, when
he jumps, it's hard.
Yeah,
he's punching hard things and breaking them.
You can get bigger, you can shoot fire out of your hand.
It's fairly realistic is that plumbers don't seem to really do any work.
Yeah.
They do go down the pipes and clean out coins from in there. So.
That's true.
Technically, it counts as plumbing.
Yeah, why is it significant that he's a plumber? Is it only because of the pipes? Is that...
and this is the point, right? It's like, so you can say, okay, he's an Italian and he's a plumber. If we focus on him, what can we say that this game is arguing, right? That Italian plumbers have hard heads?
Or
he doesn't need to eat. Do they not need to eat? Like, how do you, right?
So, mushrooms.
So to me, Mario is like a really interesting example because we kind of think of it as a simulation because it has physics. When I came out, it had like the most advanced jumping physics ever designed. it's kind of interesting. But there's a couple of things here. But there's certainly like fantastical elements, right? Like walking mushrooms,
he can
flying turtles
jump
and stuff.
Like five times.
Yeah, just the fact that the way that he jumps. And you also notice that unlike the other games, it's hard to find anything political in Mario. Right. I mean, you could say like, okay, he's hoarding money. Maybe he's a capitalist.
there's this whole long essay about how it's all communist.
Interesting. Can you post that on the forums?
I will.
If you mind. One thing, again, just your chief board of is its gender politics, right? So the only, like, female is the princess, and what does she do? She sits and waits. She has no agency, and it's all about, you know, kind of the masculine. So you can kind of have, like, a feminist reading.
Masculine character.
I'm sorry? Just,
Everything else you can't really assign a gender to.
Is Bowser masculine? Bowser is masculine.
It's an interesting question, right? Because it's also how much do you bring in other elements, right? Do you think about the cartoon when you think about this? Do you think about other games? Do you just look at Mario and it's like an isolated
Peach example? Kicks ass in Smash
Bros. It's true.
Yeah.
In other games you don't play.
Well, and it's not the gender, about 50-50, right,
of all
the characters?
Yeah.
Well, there is a Super Princess Peach, actually, who is also a fan member. But her, instead of, like, you know, flying, throwing five fireballs out of her hands or anything, her abilities are wood swings.
Like, I think there's something you said about the idea that Smash Brothers is that Brownie Brown?
It's Hal.
Hal and Brownie Brown working together, right? And then, like, Super Princess Peach is Tose. But has Nintendo ever... What?
That's actually crazy.
Has Nintendo ever made, like, a proper Peach game? I don't think so.
It's meant to be kind of like the American Super Mario 2, when you control the Peach, and, like, she's really popular because she floats. So, I mean, again, you know, this is to say that this theory kind of emphasizes subjectivity, right? There's just not a lot in here that we would find meaningful or that we would actually pick apart. But that said, I mean, I certainly think that it works, especially for more political games that have more of a message. And again, you know, this is all stuff to think about. This is not something we're necessarily looking for. So anything else before I move on to the last season?
There's one particular reason why Mario's clever, actually, and that the effect of the original pre-Super Mario Brothers, where basically there's one screen and there are, and all these bad stuff is coming out of pipes. And the idea is that you're trying to clear the pipes from all of the bad stuff.
So I played it, I never got that from it. I mean,
the
pipes are there, but they, like, the setting.
I guess in that case, you're asking what do I bring from outside, and I recall the advertising from that where you made a big point about the fact that everything's coming out of pipes. And you made a wrench even, so
clearing that. Yeah. So it was like in Donkey Kong, Mario was actually originally a carpenter, and they retroactively changed him into a plumber because Mario Brothers, the original, was about plumbing. Mm-hmm. So, but they wanted to keep the character the same. So,
yeah.
But
Mario's
in Donkey Kong. Yeah. They retroactively changed his name and his profession.
Oh, yeah. 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 We got it. Yeah, he's the character being controlled by him.
Donkey Kong and
Super Nintendo.
Okay. So, last example.
There was the girl.
Anyone not played this one?
Definitely.
Do I give it a shot?
That's
right. This is a better platform. Let's start with that. Okay. First time.
Surprise. You have to play this game again.
Do you want to test your German?
I was actually just thinking of their Cooking Mama simulation.
Okay. Oh gosh. Princess Pamela Anderson has been captured by evil Ronald McDonald. Plans on making her part of his unhappy meals, along with the chickens who are tortured for McDonald's restaurants. Help Princess blah blah blah. Barricades move. Space bar to jump. To be enemies jumping on their heads. You can also hit down in the air to do the proverbial thing. Okay, start.
Pamela Anderson.
I thought they weren't nuggets.
Delicious. Okay, wow. I want to thank all of you for being here for opening my new vegetarian restaurant in Double Delicious. Ronald McDonald. Finally, I found the perfect toy for my next unhappy meal. I'm going to set this man. Please help me. Okay, looks like we have to save the princess once again, Chiquette. Let's go.
Oh.
Yeah, like mustache.
Wow.
Hi, Nuggets. Jill McDonald's one of the biggest sellers of chicken flesh, and they use an outdated method of slaughter that leads to extreme suffering for birds.
Subtle.
Okay.
Very subtle. Wow, that's like. It's not obvious at all that it's from PETA.
Is this from PETA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
PETA.
Play PETA's.
Silly kitten.
Could there have been like any carnivorous responses? Well, that just makes me hungry.
I'm sure that.
That's what we were all saying. Yes.
Oh, I can ball
up.
Up
on surface.
Basically, I think Super Meat Boy is the response.
Why are you not calling me? Are you on the same
chicken? Yeah, Super Meat Boy.
No.
Nice.
Super chicken.
Grow that spinach, right?
I like growth hormones is the explanation for that.
Oh, keep it.
I don't know if this goes against one of PETA's earlier ads where they had, it was a sticker that had a chick that looked like that and said, I am not a nugget. And this character's name is Nugget.
Yeah. There's also a KFC version of this, but I think this one is more. Not really. You are the best Super Chicken Sisters player. Okay, so.
Even the mustache odds? Wait, why is Mario a bad guy?
Yeah, what do they have against.
What do they have against mustache?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, anyways, that goes on. So, this game is, I think, really different from the other games we've looked at. Does anyone have a sense of that as well?
Slightly political.
Not subtle.
It's, for the most part, it's just a reskinning. Mm-hmm. And so, we were discussing this in another class about, Ian Bogo's Persuasive Games. Mm-hmm. And we looked at, what was it called? It was... Space Invaders.
Tax Invaders?
No, it was a McCain ad, mm-hmm. and it was about pork barrel spending.
Oh yeah, I know about that.
Pork Wars, I think it was called. But like, how it's just the reskinning, and so they're using the same kind of like metaphors to just kind of like get people to play it, and it's not really like improving their point or mm-hmm. trying, like it's not doing anything for their cause.
Mm-hmm. Like, the simulation in this game seems to not really apply to their point at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really just playing Mario and it happens to look different, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, like, September 12th, where the actual simulation itself had meaning with mm-hmm. what they were trying to say.
The mechanics have nothing to do with the political point or the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
This is a secondary critique of Mario.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
I don't even know what were they trying to say about Mario.
Not sure.
So they're kind of lampshading the fact that it's basically a Mario ripoff. At least that was the sense I was getting. Yes, we know it's a Mario ripoff, so we're going to tell you that we're aware of it.
PETA also has an established problem with Nintendo with their Cooking Mama. skin. Well, but I guess Nintendo received like the brunt of PETA's wrath in that case, anyways.
Yeah,
what is
Cooking
Mama?
They're all Japanese.
What is Cooking Mama?
It's like we don't even know.
Cooking Mama's available on Facebook now, actually.
It's a DS game that it's about cooking. And people also had a problem with it because there weren't enough vegetarian options.
Wow.
So they made another Flash game similar to this one where it's like Cooking Mama kills animals and features sort of like really bloody and like slitting their throats and things.
There's also, we played the video game yesterday, the Direct Video Game Studies.
Did you make McDonald's video game?
Yeah, it was I think at videogame.com. And that one is a simulation of running McDonald's, and it presents itself as serious, and at first most of us in class, I think, as I was, thought it was produced at McDonald's. And then as it goes along, you can manage the like beef farms and the soy farms, and then the slaughterhouse, and then the stores, and then your corporate area. And at first it seems very like, hey, we're going to show you how like the business of McDonald's works. And then you get like this farm portion. There's like the option to like use the modified crops. Like, okay, I can do that. It's a trade-off. Then there's the option to like bribe the mayor so you can destroy his crops for years. And you're like, wait. And then you can like choose to feed your cow sludge to make them fatter. And there's like these little like things that are added on. You can bribe climate expert to say that you're environmentally friendly. And it kind of gets, and you're like, oh, okay.
Are these biases based on any fact, or totally?
I don't know. It was a good game too. Like, we played it, like it was pretty challenging.
Yeah.
No,
the same guy who did Everyday the Same Dream. It was the same company, one industry.
Anyway, it was well done.
And discussed about in CMS 590, and apparently it's almost impossible if you don't act as a corrupt entity.
And that's
correct.
That's the answer, right? Yeah. Because to be
correct.
Successful, you have
the guy next to me tried to play all natural organic without corrupting anyone, and he was spot like.
But at least there, the actions you're taking in the game it's supposed to be here where you're walking past somebody and just talks to you about how
they're both McDonald's
sucks. Very effective.
This one's just like, I'm hungry now.
It's like it's the difference between a simulation and a game. Like, this is clearly more of a game than a real simulation. But for the real simulation, I feel like the mechanics have to kind of relate to whatever it is.
But again, right, couldn't you say, I mean, this isn't any more or less a simulation than Mario is, right?
I don't think Mario is a simulation.
Yeah, right. It's a physics simulation,
So,
and I mean, that's exactly right, right? This game has a point to make, but it's doing so in a very kind of narrative, fictional way. It's not leveraging the simulation. And generally speaking, like, these games are just not as effective, right? And that's one of the cool things about simulations. You get to see how it works and experience things firsthand. Whereas, you know, is this any more or less effective than a pamphlet or a brochure? I mean, maybe in terms of exposure, right? A lot of people can play this game, but it's not doing anything than any other type of media can do. So, yeah, and that's what I got. So any other, so we're going to do some of the brainstorming exercise again and talk about projects for the next assignment. But does anyone else have anything they want to add before we move on?
This is not the first time we're going to be dealing with the issue of simulation. I mean, we'll be playing games that are, you know, ostensibly simulations, or at least satires.
Which already did with Crunch.
Yeah, well, anyway, like Crunch. We'll see what if we get. I mean, and I do want to point out that, you know, back to one of the earlier points, you know, the source system doesn't necessarily fall. If you're just making games, the source system doesn't have to be a real world source system. Mm-hmm. It could be any system. The Battlestar Galactica game, the Lord of the Rings game, for instance, are all very much based on fictional
systems.
But I find those games to be particularly good because they're trying to figure out what the system is in those story worlds and make them relevant for our players, put you in the shoes of how the characters in those stories will.
So we can do sort of fictional system?
Not for this particular
manage the Shire.
I meant not for this particular assignment. I'm just saying that for the game design in general.
I just don't know why they came out with Lego Star Wars and so much genre of like Lego games.
And make a Lego
awesome. Because anyway, this is such a funny idea for a fictional layer and not like another layer.
But I think, you know, Lego was not doing very well until they got the Star Wars license to make actual Lego sets. And that was a big revenue stream. Not as much here. If you go to like a toy store in Europe, it'll be half Lego. And it'll be, I've had that experience of like, wow, I remember when I wanted this when I was like six, and you can't get it here anymore.
everything that's sold in the U.S.
Kids are on the
legal basis, kind of.
It's all like.
It just seems so funny to have like a Star Wars video game.
Yeah. Well, it's also Lego Harry Potter.
Well, that was Lego everything. We have Lego Rocket.
Which kind of rolls like back to the first success, Lego game than with Star Wars. But I think that's probably more a topic for stuff like video game studies. But the whole idea, it probably works well with a number of classes that CMS offers. Like there's a video game, there's a media industry class that comes up, I think, every spring. And you'll talk about things like licensing, you'll talk about things like franchises. And how these people. So if you're interested in sort of going deep into that, in fact, CMS has been talking about this. And there was another similar point that I wanted to make, but, all right, simulations. There's actually a sort of game simulations class that's being offered in DUST, the Department of Political Studies and Science here. That's targeted largely at using simulations for educational games. It's taught by Eric Klopper. It's a really, really good class, and he approaches it in kind of very similar way. Like, first, let's look at the model. First, let's look at your assumptions and which what you're choosing to simulate, what you're choosing to leave out. And he'll get to things like gameplay. You'll probably be pretty well equipped after taking a class like this and start thinking about those issues. But he looks a lot closer at how does someone construct and understand as sort of the basic first step of how to use simulation in education. Yeah. If I were to recommend that to you, what would you
say? Yeah, last spring was CMS 590, Education Exploration for Games and Simulation.
It's like it's got multiple course numbers, right? Like DAS and CMS.
Yeah, it's definitely crossed with 11. I think it's crossed with at least one other thing.
Well, CMS by MIT, if you can research that, yeah. A student at MIT, you would find that. Do you want to go on?
Yeah.
Actually, let's obviously use this white post. Oh, I need to mention. So, this time we're going to do the brainstorming kind of similar way as last time, but instead of like brainstorming just the whole game ideas, which is what we did last time, kind of want people to like call out systems, call out the things that intrigue the real world system that you might want to make a game about. Because what you're in the end going to end up deciding to model and what your gameplay is going to be is probably going to be heavily determined by who your teammates are. And for folks who already has a team?
We had a different idea.
But I think I have an idea for us to do.
We'll see. It's possible.
So I would recommend being upfront with it because and sharing it. You don't have to, but if you're going to hold it back, try to contribute a couple of ideas on.
Yeah, one more idea for sure.
So the usual exercise of brainstorming. Anyone got any ideas that they were ready to go? I'll start with Jeremy and then I'll work all the way back.
An ancient Egyptian town trying to build a pyramid.
Okay, so pyramid building.
I told you the green one was good.
Yeah.
There's always a lot more that I like.
Rush at MIT.
Rush.
Maybe a little bit scary, dude.
Like Renaissance Italian political machinations.
Okay, nice. Renaissance Italian politics. Yeah. Okay. I'm
getting through 4 years at MIT.
Oh, so just graduated
MIT.
Just MIT undergrad.
Real time tower defense, but like. Let's say you're in a tower. Who's our Inglourious Bastards?
What's the system?
I'm saying think Inglourious Bastards. Remember the guy in the tower? Something like that.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah,
surviving a siege or something.
So base.
American sniper and German clock
base. German clock tower.
Defense. That's why it's the tower defense. But similar to that, except you're not building tower. You're just defense.
That's what the whole battle was.
Yeah.
Running a marathon?
It's national politics.
That's a problem. I'm driving a bus from Las Vegas.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Coming up with a game idea?
Surviving the Department of Motor Vehicles.
It's deep.
All right, back to middle school popularity contest. Sorry, I just had a bad
guy. Yeah, I
know. Troubles pass. I don't
want to. I'm not
supposed to. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to make any kind of announcements. I just had a flashback, so.
Being a cook at a really busy restaurant?
Okay, good. I'm a restaurant cook.
Making nuclear fusion work.
Fusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Planning large scale scientific endeavors. So I think you like NASA. NASA planning.
Just like NASA scale science. Is that?
Yeah.
The immigration process to America.
Immigration to America.
Change last name. High school student body election, or like student government.
Pretty much election. Popular.
If you wasn't in high school,
I think the dynamics are different. Right.
Yeah. Evolution. And also, I love this idea, but ants trying to find their way home.
Random walk.
Becoming, developing a music career.
Rock band.
Career in academia. Also, immune system.
Academic
career.
Immune system.
I like
that.
Immune system.
Otherwise, people.
Give myself my fever.
Okay.
Buying stuff at an auction house.
Auction house. Nice. I'm
trying to get out of
being
lost
without
instruction.
Trying to get.
Yeah,
get
like you're lost, but like the people that
actually
give you terrible instruction, you have like
classic
rules.
Okay, so. Lost in Japan.
So, finding. Yeah. Where is Shinjuku Station? The name of the game.
Being lost.
Making photos in a dark
room.
Culturing bacteria.
Culture,
okay. Transplant. Well, this relates to the immigration to US, crossing the Caribbean Sea in a boat or a raft.
Or one, then the other.
How many R's in Caribbean?
Two.
One.
I think it's one.
One R and two B's.
I'm pretty sure it's two R's and two. And let's see.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, it's one R and two B's. Damn.
Westward expansion of America.
Westward expansion?
Traveling to Oregon?
Oregon.
Perhaps the Amazon.
You're hacking computer?
The computer
hacking.
Wait a second, that's familiar.
Tech support.
Oh! Ooh.
You have committed suicide.
Advertising executives at Apple.
Let's think about like a person's like a journey of understanding self.
Okay, so self-discovery.
Yeah, and also like a presidential election.
Presidential election.
Okay. Shepherding.
Shepherding
sheep. As in sheep.
Yeah, like flocking mechanics are kind of interesting when you look at them.
a Viking colony in the New World before they left.
Okay. Does anyone want to be reading that well?
I don't know if you guys still have it, but yeah. Ant Colony. I made a game, board game, Ant Colony Sim. When I was in Europe here. It's probably in Europe somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to revisit something similar. Ant Colony is a lot of fun.
Okay.
Good idea. You still have an idea. Really?
Yeah,
it's going
back
into the anthills. I can go more than one.
If two people have the same idea, maybe you'd be working on a team together.
Making a movie.
So, like movie production?
Yeah.
Buying a script.
Okay. Let's see.
Being a cast of it.
Running a religious ministry.
Right in the middle of that right now.
Designing a board game.
Brainstorming. That's actually a phone game right now.
Building a computer.
Waking up. Kind of like a monster.
Yeah,
even
that's
good.
You are just
managing a beehive.
A couple. Imperialism.
Okay.
And, well, it's on the religious one. Organizing a mass suicide.
Finding a divorce.
Finding a divorce.
Okay.
Running away from the police.
Crime scene investigation.
Yes, I. Firefighting.
Okay.
Let's see.
Falling asleep.
Waking up and falling asleep.
Organizing a heist.
Heist.
A mind heist.
Running the Catholic Church.
That might be some you guys might want to consider doing being as a deal.
Money laundering, tax evasion.
Okay.
Yes.
Crunch.
Ooh, mafia.
Mafia.
Is that the same idea?
They could be two separate ideas.
I think it's a separate idea. Tax evasion happens small scale and large scale. Okay.
Picking up kids flying into a summer camp at the airport and not trying to lose them.
What?
He is not losing
kids. Not losing arriving children.
Not losing
children.
I have no idea. The other end of that.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that with the airport meeting kids game. Okay.
Running a gang organization.
A what?
A gang or mafia organization.
Okay, mafia. Or. Organization. Okay.
The spread of fire through different materials.
Fire spread. Well, probably works very well with the firefighting game.
carrying out a hit with a small team of assassins.
Trying to kill one.
Epidemiology.
Yes, yeah, like you know, in a hotel in Dubai or something.
This is the Munich, the game.
Dot-com
boom and bust.
Dot-com boom and bust. Okay.
Rescuing Chilean miners.
Did anyone see the mystery trailer
poster that got released recently?
Running a city.
A city.
Putting on takeout clothes. Or putting on clothes.
Go the way.
I'm pretty sure there are games where you were taking off.
The second one.
I'm not sure. What's the direction?
National
Park Management.
Hot sauce eating contest.
Hot sauce, which is already a game.
Well, sure.
You can
buy it.
Start a company or like a Silicon Valley bubble?
So, Silicon. That dot com boom invest as well. So
I should be talking to each
other about it.
Yeah. Silicon Valley company. Let's see around. Does it have like in the
Netherlands? Surviving a family reunion.
the Thanksgiving game. All right.
This would be too bad. Containing an oil spill.
Not none. Topical.
Making an oil spill happen. Like,
oil spill.
Start
making oil spill.
Could be the same game. Just playing on different sides.
Successful first date.
First date?
Or unsuccessful first date.
Again, same game.
Getting drunk or trying not to?
Trying to survive your game. You need to turn down the
game. Okay.
Yeah, bar crawl.
I'm
like that Friday.
Make you survive. Make a bar making, sure. Bar making.
Go on with it.
Bar crawl survival.
Okay,
turn
on. Like,
those are versions.
Charity.
Nuclear proliferation.
Proliferation and proliferation directly under bond or yeah, I mean like bomb making plus international diplomacy proliferation.
Living along on an island. Living along on an island.
Oh, that's kind of like halfway as well. Yeah, so island.
Yeah.
This is like the Robinson Crusoe kind of thing. Yeah.
Why did I just suddenly forget what
to do? All these items.
It was good.
I forgot.
Okay.
So bomb disarming, and also Congress in Supreme Court, as two separate ideas.
Sorry, you have to repeat that. What time?
So bomb disarming, and then Congress and the Supreme Court as three separate ideas.
Oh. Congress.
This armor of Congress.
Yeah, okay, we already have a president, Congress, Supreme Court.
Yeah, right, cool.
Let's see, I kind of lost track. Calvin and John.
Surgery.
Operation.
Operation.
Well, yeah, come up with a different surgery.
Running an orphanage.
Not, I'm like running a charity.
The Olympics.
Running huge cash windago.
Creating and spreading memes.
Memes.
We created the meme actually. Spread. Being a tourist in Amsterdam.
Very specific. Okay.
I had the most fun.
Games and twerkers in MIT.
They weren't working. That's worse.
Playing games?
That's
source
so
of
bad. Like, how do you maximize your pleasure from playing the games before you play too many games that the rest of like sucks, which, like,
organizing a board game, that's actually hard.
Yeah.
Or, I mean,
in a first-person shooter?
I don't pretty much like not actually a first-person shooter, pretending like you're in a that environment.
Okay. Playing and
being an FPS.
Being an FPS.
Twitter.
As opposed to a game that involves okay.
Being a pro gamer.
The pro gaming game.
Oh god. Managing traffic intersections.
Traffic intersections.
Being a programmer.
A programmer?
Software design.
Right, programmer and programmer, two different things. Quite different.
Fishing. And losing weight. Writing
simultaneously.
It's okay, it's something I'm working on.
The historical whaling industry.
Whaling.
I want to do whaling. I thought of that, but I mean, it's not a current system, right?
Railroads.
Lumberjacking.
Okay, that's a little more North American.
Spelunking.
Spelunking. It might also be a good MIT for connection.
Stock market speculation.
Say what?
Stock market speculation.
Stock market? Speculation in particular.
Yeah.
Salem witch trials? Or witch hunts in general?
Witch hunts.
You just point people.
It's very much like which
one? Unions.
Unions. I'm starting to think that most case there in there is union.
Building a house.
Building.
FedEx.
Oh.
Well, the sense that everything goes into location
first.
Spreading a mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria.
Like McCarthy style.
Spreading a virus.
Oh, it sounds like spreading memes.
Also known as politics in the US.
Let's see. Cold War spying and the internet.
Cold War espionage. And the internet.
I work really well with the meme spreading game.
Packet routing the game.
Actually, there are routing packages.
Yeah. Are there?
Communism.
Yeah.
Communism.
You have to plan 5 terms
ahead.
Genius. A five term
line. Computer virus.
The
5-turn plan.
Storm chasing.
Storm chasing. Okay, alright, I think I'm out of space.
Hurricanes and oceans.
Hurricanes and oceans? I'm going to keep that one.
Planetary alignment.
Storm chasing and ocean.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm assuming that means like
information.
Can you do something like astrology, which is not a real world system, but it's
you're trying to keep your
cryptids in the world.
Yes, you can do astrology.
Zombie outbreaks. Virus.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, should, I mean, but that would be more like a real virus. I would suggest to limiting yourselves to just real world. I mean, when it comes to things like zombie outbreaks and stuff, it's like, sure, there's a system that you can model,
somehow.
But if you're just kind kind of trying to push on the edges of all the constraints, then you're just kind of like trying to make to give yourself an easier time. And most often I see the results actually turn out to be less interesting because people are just going for like the ideas that is pushing them really quickly. People aren't actually trying to work at it. So, but that being said, even with a lot of the ideas up here, a lot of them have connections. Like, you know, I mean, even the really obvious one, like, you know, oil spill containing, oil spill starting, could practically be the same game. You know, everything with the presidential election and spreading mass hysteria game seems to go together really well. but, you know, and these ideas are now up in the board again. You have until the end of Friday, I guess. Yeah, I guess we don't really need to know until like the beginning of next week. So actually, by the end of Friday, you should know who's on your team and what project you're working on. And over the weekend, email us who's on your team, the email addresses of all people on your team, and what idea you're starting with. Like, again, the idea can diverge a little bit, but unlike the previous project, we do kind of want you to keep with whatever you started with, at least as a core system. You may choose, you know, for presidential election, maybe something about like winning votes, and then you decide, no, really, we want to make a game of gerrymandering. That's fine, because you're still keeping in with the same core of the system. But you know, you say, oh, we want to do something about winning votes, and then instead it became a game about like religion or something like that. And it's like, I can see how you got there, but that's not really keeping with the spirit of this particular science. So stick with, you know, that original core system that you're working with, and try to find the fun in it. Don't try to like, this is a really, really dull simulated mechanic, but if we add a bunch of flavor text, then it becomes funny. You know, no, try to find the fun in the original system, and if you can't, you know, try to take apart the system and find the one component that is fun. So all of bomb making might not be so much fun, like, you know, that might be the fun part, right? You know, it's like the one part of the, oops, my hand slipped, and therefore I am now dead. That part might be actually kind of fun, as opposed to, now I need to figure out how to get fertilizer.
Cool.
All the ideas are going to stay up on the wall for a while.